ABC Radio Australia.
Well, there are now just 67 days to go before the opening ceremony at the Olympic Games in Tokyo. But for the teams from the Pacific Islands, there are still a number of questions to be answered. First and foremost, National Olympic Committees need to know how many of their athletes are qualified to compete, and then they have to figure out how to get them there. There's also the small matter of ensuring that the team members stick to the strict COVID-19 protocols that will be enforced once they get to the Japanese capital. So as Richard Ewart reports, even for experienced campaigners like Papua New Guinea's chef de mission and ONOC's president, the Tokyo Games will be a very different challenge.
There are three Olympic sports in which Pacific Island teams hope to make an impact in Japan: rugby sevens, beach volleyball and weightlifting. But the final list of competitors for all three events is still to be decided. And in the case of rugby sevens and beach volleyball, qualifying tournaments are still to be played. It's a situation that's making life hard when it comes to ensuring that every team member has been vaccinated against COVID-19. But the president of ONOC, the Oceania National Olympic Committee, Robin Mitchell, says there is a solid plan in place.
When the heads of government met virtually, where they had to select the new secretary general of the forum, the other agenda item was the vaccination project, and I was able to get in touch with the chairman of the forum, Kosei Anatano, who's the first president of the Tuvalu Olympic Committee, to get the governments to agree that all of the Olympic athletes and their entourage be vaccinated at the appropriate time after their border and quarantine staff and healthcare staff are vaccinated. And the meeting agreed with that proposal.
Athletes from the US Pacific Territories have been well looked after, and PNG's chef de mission Tamsin Wardley says Australia have been very supportive to her team.
Most of our team has put their hand up to have the vaccination and have gone through the first stage of the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is the vaccine here in PNG. We're very fortunate that the Australian Olympic team is working with all the countries across the Pacific, so that those of us who've got athletes and officials actually down in Australia, they're joining in with the Australian Olympic team and getting the Pfizer vaccine down in Australia.
It will be no surprise if, regardless of their sporting ambitions, some Pacific athletes were reluctant to travel to Tokyo. But while a number of PNG's Olympic hopefuls have withdrawn, Tamsin Wardley says fear of COVID-19 wasn't the reason.
We've had a number of athletes pull out, not because of the risk of going to Tokyo, but just family life and work pressures has got in the way. The extra 12 months of having to train and possibly not working has impacted a number of athletes up here. So we've had quite a few who've dropped out of the qualification process.
With several countries still unsure over the size of their Olympic teams, travel arrangements to and from Tokyo are proving tricky. Should either Tonga or Samoa in the final men's qualifier and PNG or Samoa, or possibly both in the final women's qualifier, grab places in the rugby sevens event, the likelihood is those teams will travel direct to Japan from Monaco, where the qualifiers are being played. Back in the Pacific, a Fiji Airways charter flight is on standby to carry a number of teams to Tokyo, but Robin Mitchell says getting back will be a lot harder.
Fiji Airways is organising a flight Nandi to Tokyo. We have six countries that have shown interest in joining us by coming to Nandi and then flying up to go into pre-games training camps. And then coming back, we would probably have to piggyback on repatriation flights out of Tokyo. One is immediately after the rugby competition. And then the second repatriation flight would be around the time that the Paralympic competitors have to go up, and the rest of the competitors in the second week, and our ONOC staff would return.
We'll have a team of less than 50 all up, so no, there's no charter flight options for us. So it's very difficult. We've got so many bookings in systems trying to work out how to get the athletes across to Tokyo. There's very limited flights out of Papua New Guinea at the moment. There's not that many out of Australia. So it's very challenging, and our athletes are still moving around. So at this stage, we're not completely sure where they'll be, you know, to actually embark on the flight. So it's very difficult compared to a normal Games, that's for sure.
Fans of PNG weightlifter Dikatoa will have been disturbed to read about her apparently being arrested a week or so ago. But Tamsin Wardley says when local media published their stories, the domestic matter had been resolved, and Dikat was already in quarantine in Brisbane prior to travelling to Melbourne to be reunited with her longtime coach and mentor, Paul Coffer.
We believe she will be there to represent the country for her fifth Olympics. The matter that's been reported was a personal and family matter, and at this point in time, it's not impacted anything to do with the Olympic team. She's actually gone down to Australia to start training again, but she's doing her quarantine at the moment. So her preparations remain on track. So we're very hopeful that, yes, she will be with us in Tokyo and competing at, yes, her record fifth Olympic Games.
I was the flag bearer in Athens, yeah, the 2004 Olympics. Once I stepped out, I never imagined how heavy the flag was. But I was full of excitement.
And Dicker will not be alone when she rejoins the Oceania Weightlifting Institute at its new home. PNG medal hopeful Maria Barra will also be there.
And the two of them will be getting back into training with Mr. Coffer, which I'm sure will be a bit of a shock to their systems. They've been training up here the whole time, but literally in their village and in a makeshift gym. So they've been doing their best to keep their fitness and their training levels up to standard, but in very challenging circumstances.
Paul Coffer has been a great help in my sporting career since I joined him in 2002. It all comes down to discipline.
The hope of every island team will be that they can get their athletes in and out of Tokyo safely and without any risk of their bringing COVID-19 back with them.
Our main push was that you want your athletes to go there vaccinated and to at least ensure that when they come back, they don't bring the virus with them, as best we can judge on departure. But what Tokyo has put in place is essentially what's happening in most of the small island countries, where we're sort of in a modified containment WHO recommended zone.
And the COVID-19 protocols that go with that will have to be strictly adhered to. That means additional responsibilities and extra pressure for Tamsin Wardley and every other chef de mission going to the Games from the Pacific.
The athletes, they're just so enthusiastic when they get over there, and the restrictions that are being imposed are incredibly strict, and they're going to be very limited as to what they can do. So it is going to be challenging, and we need to keep them focused for their competition. And then the plan is, once competition's over, Japan's asking for us to bring the athletes straight home. We don't have that many flights, so it's not quite as easy as saying 24 hours after your competition, jump on a plane, because there's just no planes to jump on. So managing the athletes, you're right, is going to be quite challenging.
That's Tamsin Wardley, chef de mission for the Papua New Guinea Olympic team, and that report there from Richard Ewart.